I like when Gary Gerald gets a word wrong. It happens like twice a year. It just tells me he's human. Because I have always believed Gary Gerald, who is one of my favorite people in the world, is part cyborg. Never messes anything up. Smooth as silk. Just means it's a little bit like me. Just a little, just tiny little bit. Because I would do that all the time. I have such a great respect for basketball and hockey announcers because there's so much going on. There is so much going on constantly, and you constantly have to be talking, especially, no offense to Grant, but he would say the same thing I'm saying right now, especially radio basketball, when you can't allow the TV to paint a decent amount of the picture. Just goes to show you how amazing Gary Gerald is. Kings lose last night, or excuse me, I should say yesterday afternoon, to the Toronto Raptors. No surprise, 108-93. Kings actually had a teensy lead. What was it? It was 63-61 going into the third quarter, and then the Raptors just did what they do. They're a good team. They're a great team, to be honest with you. They're a top 10 team easily in the NBA, if not a little bit higher. And they took it to Sacramento. Sacramento didn't have an answer. Outscored in both the third and the fourth by pretty decent margins. Zach Randolph got some rest, and I like the way they did it. I mentioned this earlier. They rested him, allowing him to take advantage not only of the days off before the Toronto game, but the subsequent days off. Kings off until tomorrow when they take on the 76ers in Philadelphia. So he's in effect going to get, like 5 days off, I believe, and you do it on the road. That's the right way to do it. There's nothing wrong with resting a 36-year-old Zach Randolph. I don't have a lot to get into with this game. I really don't. Minutes were spread around pretty decently. You saw guys like Justin Jackson and Yorgos Papayannis get minutes. Frank Mason III got in there. Bogdan Bogdanovic, great game. 18 points on 7-10 shooting, 5 assists, 3 boards. One of his better games in a while. Tied his career high for 3-pointers made with 4. My big focus, and this is really all I have to offer on the Kings until we get to 8 o'clock, I don't know what's wrong with Scal. I don't have an answer. I don't even really have a guess. Because when he is playing in the NBA this year, he's advanced metrics will say that he's actually better than the numbers appear. And I get it. He's had a 19-point game this year. He's had a 17-point game this year. He has broken 10 rebounds once. That was the opening game of the year, 12 points and 10 boards. But as you look as the season progresses, he's gone from averaging 11.3 points in November, 6.4 in December, 4.3 in December. And really, his December has just been terrible. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a confidence issue. I don't know if it's a rotation issue. I don't know if it's who he's playing with issue. It seems that Coach Yeager kind of cracked the code with Willie Cauley-Stein by putting him in more lineups that involve Kostas Koufos. That seemed to be a good combination. But with Scal, he just seems lost. And then you put him in the G League for 2 games. He went off. I mean, he really, really went off. Not like, oh, I went down there and had some decent numbers. The guy put out insane numbers in the G League. And then he comes back. There's nothing. There's nothing. His games in December, 6 points, 2 points, 0, 0, 6, 6, 6, 0. But to his credit, he's averaged 11.5 minutes a game. So it's a chicken and the egg, really. To be fair, I quoted his averages per month and how they went down and down and down. You got to quote his minutes per month, 23.1 in November, 15.1 in December, 11.5 in December. From the 916, maybe he's not a very good basketball player. Of course, that's an option. What's frustrating about Scal is that you've seen glimpses. You really have. You've seen glimpses where the guy looks like he has the skill set to make it work. Yeah, a couple games last year that were fantastic. Remember that game at Phoenix that the Kings actually won back in, what was that, back in March? 32 points, 11 boards. They had a 25-point night in Houston. 19 points down against the Lakers. I mean, he's never going to be a guy that gets you 15 boards a game. But you wonder what you're doing with him. I don't know.
At what point are those performances that you just listed off a matter of small sample size?
They are. I think that the point is right now. They are a small sample size because...
So we're seeing more not good from Scal than good.
Correct. He's 21 years old. He's a 21-year-old big guy. So it's not like we're not looking at a 26-year-old dude. And I'm not saying let's give up on Scal and Bissiere. I'm saying I would love to sit down with Scal and say, do you know what the issue is? And maybe he doesn't. I'd love to sit with Coach Yeager and say what is the issue and ask what the issue is. And honestly, I'd like to sit down. No offense, I'd like to sit down with them both privately and off the record. Excuse me, because I can't imagine. I have a feeling what's wrong. We'll get two different answers on and off the record, and I don't want to put words in either of their mouths. But, geez, there's something wrong with the dude. They got to figure it out. Again, this is a year for development. Scal and Bissiere is regressing. And at this point, do you put him back in the G League? Do you put him back in the G League for a couple of weeks? Or do you just let him try to figure it out in the NBA? And if that's the case, then you're probably going to need to play him more than, 11 minutes a game. So I don't have a ton about the Kings. I really don't. We'll talk a little bit more about them at 8 o'clock. I don't have a ton to talk with about the Kings. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Gotta love the text line. There's one guy. I shouldn't even read it. From the 209. Big football games yesterday. You're talking about the horrible Kings. Time to flip. Hey, stupid. Literally have spent 7 minutes on the Kings in an hour and 10 minutes. 70 minutes a show. 7 minutes on the Kings. Which were, the home of the Kings. And I won't talk about them again until 8 o'clock. What do you want from me? Got to say something. From the 916, it's definitely the minutes. You only played 9 minutes last night. You can't get into a flow in 9 minutes. That messes with your confidence. The only way to prove it is to give him 30 minutes and see what he does. There's a logic to that. There is a logic to that.
Is that kind of what the vibe is right now? Like, just pick 7 guys and play them just for a week or 4 or 5 games or whatever.
Part of me wouldn't
just see what happens.
I mean, part of me wouldn't mind that.
Like, maybe you go 0-5 and, Z-Bo plays 12 minutes and Garrett Temple plays 10 minutes and then you just let everybody else run around and see what happens. I mean, what? That has to happen at some point this year. Right?
I agree. I wouldn't mind that. I really wouldn't. Give these guys 30 minutes and rotate it around. Mitch, you're on the drive. Go ahead, Mitch.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Good morning. Thanks for the call. You said the Raiders are very close.
I think so.
The defense needs help in the back 7.
Sure.
I know they have only a couple interceptions. But I am dissatisfied with their running game and the wide receivers. They don't have a bona fide number one. I don't think Cooper's that well in the running game. There's going to be 5 running backs, I feel, going to be taken in the first round. Freeman, Ron Jones second, Barkley, Love, and I'm sure I'm missing 1 or 2.
Saquon Barkley?
I think I'd rather see him go Freeman or Ron Jones second, maybe because I'm a Pac-12 guy. And I like, I'm a fan of USC. I think Ron Jones is going to be better than Reggie Bush.
What, you mean better in the NFL?
In the NFL, right.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Reggie Bush, by the way, announced his retirement over the weekend. Being better than Reggie Bush in the NFL, not difficult. Not difficult. Being better than Reggie Bush in college, we'll talk about that a bit later. Because he may be the best college running back I've ever laid eyes on for a time.
Record books say Reggie Bush didn't play in college. So.
Oh, that's a good point right there. Thank you. I apologize. We'll take a break. Hey, when we get back, let's get into four down territory. We have some Steeler questions for you. And, of course, we'll focus on the Niners and the Raiders. It's an all football hour, so everybody relax. That was your Kings talk there. We'll get back to them at about 8:05. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
So the Steelers finished their season against the Texans and the Browns. Will missing Antonio Bryant make a difference for them?
No, neither will missing Antonio Brown. Here's the deal. You say Antonio Bryant. I was just messing with you. Because Martavis. Did I write it Antonio Bryant? Nope.
Did I say it Antonio Bryant?
Yeah. Say Antonio Bryant. It's Martavis Bryant. Antonio Brown.
Whatever. You knew who I meant.
I think it better not, Kyle. It better not make a difference. Jeez. In fact, can I just say, let me propose this to you. It might actually prep them for the playoffs, weirdly enough, even better, because they will have to now rely on other guys even more. We know Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown. If he's full strength, he's the best receiver in the NFL. We know that. I kind of like the idea of the Steelers having to get other guys like Jesse James, like Martavis Bryant, other guys more involved against lesser opponents like the Texans and Browns where they can get their confidence up. I think they'll be just fine heading into the playoffs, assuming he's healthy when he comes back.
Yeah, they have enough weapons on offense that they're fine living without him for a couple games.
They're not going to be hurting. Second down.
So the Niners are now picking in the 7 area. There's still some things to work out, but right now they'd be a minimum of 7th. Are these wins worth it?
I mean, we'll find out, won't we? This is the scenario we talked about. We'll find out, honestly. And I don't know that we will find out in the next year. If we're looking now 3 years from now, and it's a lot of coulda, woulda, shouldas, but if we're looking at the Niners picking 7th and they grab, you know, Fred Smith, And number 6 was, you know, Fred Johnson. And Fred Johnson ends up being a Hall of Famer. We can have that conversation. I'll say this. It's a feel-good. It's certainly a feel-good. It really, really is awesome to know that they've got the quarterback situation figured out. And that's a tough spot to figure out. They know what they're going to do into the offseason building. You don't have to worry about Kirk Cousins. You don't have to worry about Sam Darnold or any of that. That's a huge, huge thing. And this fan base is as excited as they've been, I think, since the year after they went to the Super Bowl with the Ravens. I don't think that. And by the way, was yesterday's moment, was that the greatest? Was that the greatest? Was that kick to win the game? Was that the greatest moment in Levi's Stadium history?
Yeah, I tweeted that. Come on.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Okay, because I did see that. I'll give you all the credit in the world. I think you're right.
I said if Garoppolo goes down and scores here, it'd be the first like legendary 49ers moment in.
I mean, you know, beating the Titans on a field. I don't know if I.
It doesn't matter at this point. But with the draft pick thing, you know who worries about draft picks? Teams that stink.
Yeah.
There's no difference for the 49ers if they're picking 3rd or if they're picking 7th. There's no difference.
Well, why would it? Well, tell that to the Bears who traded up 1 pick last year and gave the.
That shouldn't make or break your franchise.
Sure.
If those picks are going to make or break your franchise, that is on you. The 49ers found their quarterback. They're winning games because their quarterback is good. There's nothing wrong with that.
Third down.
Did the Niners win their last game of the year yesterday? They finish with the Jags at home, and they're on the road for the Rams.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I got to answer one way or the other. You're asking me to predict that the Niners are going to beat the Jags at home. You're asking me that the Niners are going to beat the Rams on the road. When I imagine the Rams will probably have something to play for. If I had to pick a game that they maybe possibly could win, weirdly enough, it would be against the Rams. I don't know why. That maybe it's just the NFC West thing. Maybe it's because they played them close earlier this year. I don't see. Listen, I'm sorry, dude. If they beat the Jags and the Rams to finish out the season.
Give Garoppolo a statue.
Right? And then if they go out and make some pretty crazy name moves in the offseason, bring in some free agents, plus have a great draft. You're gonna get the odds on this team making the playoffs rather high next year all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think they win either of these games, though. You're gonna get a Jags team playing for playoff position and trying to seal up their division, and you're probably gonna get a Rams team playing for playoff position too. And the fact of the matter is the 49ers defense is still not very good.
Right.
And they're still dealing with offensive weapons that are not exactly elite.
Fourth down.
Will the Raiders win another game this season?
Yeah, that's an even more interesting question, and I really don't want to further salt the wound from Raider fans, but dude, they're going into Philly versus the Eagles. And listen, say what you want, Nick Foles put up 4 touchdowns yesterday. Now they did almost lose to the Giants. And then you play the Chargers. Here's what I'm going to say. You're playing it down in LA. Here's what I'm going to say, Kyle. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say the Raiders are not only going to win a game, but they might win two, and here's why. I can absolutely see this team, now that the playoff pressure is off of them, just saying F it, and going out and having two phenomenal games, winning one and then getting close to winning a second, or winning both outright against quality opponents, to have everybody even further scratching their heads going, where was this all year long? I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say they're going to win one of these two games.
Yeah, I think they get one more. I mean, they're playing teams close for now.
They won't be favored, I don't think, in either game.
No, I don't think so. But I think they squeeze out one of these last two.
And that Chargers game is a home game. We've talked about this before. That Chargers game will be a home
and
game
that,
for the Raiders.
That might be a game for nothing for both teams, where the Raiders just go out and give their home fans something to cheer for.
Huge weekend in the NFL outside of the Bay Area. You had the Steelers and the Patriots. The Rams and Seahawks in a showdown for NFC West supremacy was not a showdown at all. We'll get into all that and, much more. Again, just a crazy weekend in the NFL. We have to get into this folded paper, first down stuff, fumbling out of the end zone. What the hell is a catch? Here we go again. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Before we get into football, Kobe Bryant's jersey is being retired tonight. Excuse me, Kobe Bryant's jerseys are being retired tonight, 8 and 24. Now, by my math, he played, what, 10 seasons with 8, 10 seasons with 24?
Yep.
Don't you make him pick one. Pick the number.
Mm.
You have two jerseys retired. That's so Kobe-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
The hero worship of him in L.A. is weird.
Of course.
So to go along with the borderline weirdness that goes on with that, and the unhealthy standing for that player and person, it makes sense that they'd retire both.
Add them together. Retire 32.
They already did.
Yeah, they did. He was pretty good, by the way.
He was all right. Maybe retire 824.
Now somebody's going to want to wear 24, somebody's going to want to wear 8. You can't do it. It's two numbers, one person. I'm trying to think, is there another example of this in sports where somebody's had two different jerseys retire with the same team?
No, because people aren't weirdos that change their number halfway through their
career. Do you think Kobe was involved in that, or do you think they offered to do both? Do you think
No, the team definitely offered to do both.
All right.
So they could sell more stuff, and Nike could sell shoes with 8 and 24 on them. And
why not retire them both on separate nights then? I mean, if they really wanted to milk it, have 8 retirement night and then have 24 retirement
night. I think there's
night.
A corny line even for the Lakers. You can't have two jersey retirements because then you'd get people like that already don't want to go to this one that wouldn't show up for the next one. And it would just be an awkward thing. Like, what else is there to say?
So lame. So lame. It really is so lame.
The worst.
Listen, I, as much as I hate to say it, I will always respect Kobe Bryant as a basketball player. As a basketball player.
Will Shaq be carrying his jersey, his number 8 jersey, to the rafters?
Carrying it?
Yeah. he carried Kobe to those championships.
I mean, well, Shaq will be there tonight, won't he?
I have no idea.
It's always good to see a Sacramento Kings owner.
I doubt. No,
at a Laker
he can't
retirement.
Go.
Of course, I'll bet you he's going.
No.
Oh, you really? You don't think Shaq will be?
Yeah, he might.
Please. But if he is, I would love for him to wear a purple. Wear purple at least. I know you can get away with it. It's both Laker
definitely
and Kings color. Maybe wear a little Kings pin. Show some respect. Shaq. All right, the Raiders lost yesterday, and it was a rough loss at home. First off, it's a loss to the Cowboys. So you know, after that game, there was throngs of schmedium jersey wearing Cowboy fans with their flat bill caps, double birding the stadium, half in the bag, because you know, Cowboy fan. But that, you know what? They won. They went in. They won the ball game. 20-17 is your final. And there were a number of things in this ball game that were a little bit weird. People are talking about the Michael Crabtree offensive pass interference call. I didn't have a huge problem with that call. I really didn't have a huge problem with that call. I didn't have a problem with that call. And if you did have a problem with that call, then I would fast forward you to later in the game on fourth down where Derek Carr throws the ball downfield, what it ended up being a 54-yard penalty that Michael Crabtree completely sold. Completely sold. Was it a penalty by the letter of the law? Yes, it was a penalty. But I'm not so sure Crabtree was even trying to catch that ball. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were preying on a young kid for the Cowboys, didn't know what the hell he was doing. It was a veteran move. Not taking anything away from Derek Carr or the Raiders. I'm saying those two kind of canceled each other out. And by the way, when you're talking about horrible rules in the NFL, that should be changed. Here's one I'd like to be changed. The spot foul for pass interference to me is a joke. Go to college rules. Pass interference, cool. 15-yard penalty, automatic first down. The fact that you can heave a ball down the field 30, 40, 50, 60 yards, whatever it may be, and it's spot of the foul, that you can have a 50-yard penalty is stupid.
And that there are guys who, like, that's a play they run, is they throw it up to try to draw the flag.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they did last night.
Which is insane.
That's what that play was. Fourth down, and Derek Carr, and credit him. All credit in the world to the Raiders for doing it. That was not, hey, we're going to throw it up and Crabtree's going to catch it. We're going to throw it up, maybe he can catch it. But at the very least, he's going to come back towards the ball. Dude's going to be running with him. He's going to take the contact. That was, honestly, that was James Harden getting to the free throw line. That was James Harden behind the three-point line, double pumping and taking the contact, throwing his hands in the air, and getting three free throws. That's what that was, the NFL equivalent of that play. And it was a penalty. It was. I'm not saying it was a bad call.
It was the correct call.
It was 100% correct call. But don't make it. When we're going to the competition committee next year, can we revisit that? Can we just make it a 15-yard penalty and a first down?
And my thing is somebody will inevitably say, well, then you're going to get a guy that just tackles a receiver. No, because if a defender is close enough to just drag the guy to the ground, they're going to try to make a play on the
sure.
ball.
100%. Raiders Stan checking in. You sound stupid, Dave. Crabtree was fighting for possession. The defender knocked him down. Easy call.
Yeah, correct.
Super easy.
Absolutely correct.
100%. We said it was a penalty.
Yeah.
It was a penalty.
There's no, I know you're salty, man, but take it easy. Listen, open your ears.
Not going to happen. Two ears, two eyes, one mouth. Well, but 10 fingers, though, for texting, I guess. That kind of takes that out of the equation.
But I only need one.
That's right. So then moving on, you have the first down play. Now, I don't, what are you doing? It was an unbelievable. Think about all the things that have to go into when you're talking about a game of inches. Football is a game of inches. So you have a referee. You have a referee have to visualize where the ball is on the field and then walk the ball out to where the first down was made. So you've got a lot of human error there. Whatever, that's fine. Then you have a chain. You have a 10-yard chain that is put at the point of the football to the other point of the football. And then you got to figure out using your eyes whether or not the ball has passed the chain. Now, last night you saw a situation where they put the chain down. Oh, and by the way, the chain was like way out towards the left. Not the chain, the pole that connects the chain was like leaned out left. Which by the way, bring the pole a little bit in, and they can't figure it out. So they use a piece of paper, which, by the way, not that this makes a huge difference, but it was a piece of paper that was folded, and they used the side that wasn't folded, that was coming apart. So it's going to be stretched out a little bit, right? Not that makes a huge difference. But correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, am I that stupid to wonder why in a situation like that, maybe instead of using a piece of paper and bending down, answer me this simple, simple question. Why didn't the ref get flat on his stomach and have another judge holding the pole up, attached to the chain, straight in the air, and then just simply using his eyes, look to see if you could see light between the tip of the football and the little the pole. Just why did nobody get on their stomach and just look that way?
Now, what I understand is it's not the pole. It's the last chain link
sure.
on the pole.
Right.
Which is insane. This is... Why not make it the pole? So if it's touching the pole... It's in, and if it's not, it's not a first down.
It's a game of inches. You got to come up with a better way. And for
it's a game of millimeters. He pulled out an index card and was like, "Yeah, this will suffice." You should not be measuring something in a football game, and your standard of measurement is, this will work.
For those of you listening, going, well, "Why is this way? The rule's always been. Why are you bringing it up now?" Are you saw first off. Knock, knock, who's there? Two Niner fans are talking right now.
Correct.
Not Raider fans. I'm salty as a football fan. And yeah, this has come up in the past. And yes, here's the thing. This is the way it's always been. That's never a good reason for anything. When somebody says that's the way it's always been, they've officially lost the argument. In anything. I don't care how it's been. I care how it's going to be going forward. I thank God that this wasn't a playoff game or a Super Bowl.
That's the problem right there, is what happens if this does happen in a Super Bowl? And I know this was effectively a playoff game for the Raiders. But there has to be, the NFL, I guess, rule book was exposed yesterday because they didn't have an answer for this. Unless the answer in the rule book is literally, hey, that folded up piece of paper in your pocket, pull it out.
Slide it between the chain and the ball.
See what's up.
I mean, is that even legal? Like, honestly, we got to get Mike Pereira on. We'll get Mike Pereira on this week. He was in Mexico last time we tried to talk to him. We got to get Pereira on.
We have to.
Because
I'm sure we'd be the only ones hitting him up right now.
I know. That's why I'm not going to hit him up today. But I wonder if, as the former head of referees, if he would look at something like that and he would compliment his, because that, I agree with you, Kyle. I would be shocked if somewhere in the rule book it said, if you cannot tell with your eyes, pull out an index card, pull out a piece of paper from your back pocket and use that to measure. I've never even heard of that before, which is kind of weird.
That's insane. And a few people on the text line are mentioning here, you have like laser measurement technology.
Exactly.
Why not slap a laser on one end of the yard marker and slap another laser on the other one and make it measure 10 yards? When you're at exactly 10 yards, see where the ball is.
I mean, I'll go a step further, dude. And by the way, throwback guy here, how you doing? Like, I like umpires in baseball. I'm all for human error in certain cities. Like, I don't want the game to be run by robots. But do we not have the technology to put a chip in either tip of the football or both and just have sensors all along the sideline so that we can easily tell, you can frame it up. You can frame it up during the replay where you will have a little glowing dot that will show you, okay, the guy, this is the last point where the guy's knee was off the ground. Here's a little glowing dot showing you, even if there's 50 players in between the camera and the ball, the little glowing dot's going to show you where on the field the ball is. You're gonna be able to know exactly what 10 yards is.
Yeah.
You'll know where it's at to the bajillimeter.
Ah.
Yeah, it's a real
bajillimeter
term.
Love that.
Can we not have some, and I think they say on the broadcast, we're 20 miles away from Silicon Valley. Greatest tech in the world is. I don't know, man. If I'm a Raider fan, there's a lot of things I'm upset about. I'm upset about the fact that we got shut out in the first half. I'm upset about the fact that this team continues to underwhelm. I'm upset about a lot of things. But when I look at this game, and maybe this is payback for the Chiefs game earlier in the year at home when the Raiders got like 11 chances to win the ball game, but it doesn't matter. It's just a game that leaves a bad taste in your mouth beyond losing 20-17. And yeah, there were a couple pass interference calls that went the wrong way or right way. I think they evened out. And we haven't even gotten to fumbling the ball out of the end zone, which we'll get to in a second. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Bob, you're on the drive. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, brother.
Hey, you know, spotting of the ball, I mean, it's not an exact science, but there was a time in the third quarter when the Raiders had the yard to gain was the 34-yard line, and they actually got just to the 34-yard line. It was actually just a bit short. They were actually given the first down, but the ball was spotted back on the 35. So they actually lost a yard on the spot, but still got the first down.
Yep.
And it was the side judge, who was number 81. I remember him running in off the side, and you could see it was completely different position than where the side judge came from the far side and set the ball. And I was thinking to myself, I even stopped the TV, I showed my wife, I said, they gave him the first down, but yet took a yard away.
Bob, it's a great point, and to take it a step further, next time you watch a football game just for fun, when you see a ball go out of bounds or a player go out of bounds, and you see a referee walk the ball or jog the ball from the sidelines to where he eventually puts it down for the snap. Watch how many times the referee far from walks in a straight line. It's something I look for, and I saw it a bunch of times yesterday. You'll see a referee come in, and then I swear to God, if he hasn't in his mind that it's a first down, he'll kind of curve towards wherever the marker is, and he'll walk a little bit sideways. Just trust me when I say, next time you're watching a football game, keep an eye on the referee bringing the ball from the sideline to the middle of the field and watch the line he's following. Now, I'm not saying there's a conspiracy. I'm not saying they're always wrong. In fact, 99% of the time, they're right, 98%. But it's so far away from an exact science.
Yep.
And if you need to have replay, then I think maybe it's okay to not have an index card decide a first down. Now let's get to the fumble out of bounds. It's Derek Carr going for the end zone, stretching out, losing the ball, goes out of the end zone, touchback, Cowboy ball. We've heard this and seen this for some reason last couple years, it seems. We've seen more and more and more of this play than we've ever seen before. And I don't recall the rule. Has the rule changed? It's always been the rule. We're all of a sudden, it's like a trend now. It's a trend when you're hearing this.
That's like, what, the third time we've seen that call this year?
Yep. It's got to be addressed. Now, I understand you don't want guys diving for the end zone and fumbling. You can't fumble forward, and that's the old fumble Ruski rule. You can't fumble forward and get the ball in touch. That's not an option. Roger Sherman of The Ringer wrote an article about this last month, and he brought up a few different ways to address this rule and make it different. If it's anywhere else on the field, that team that fumbled the ball gets the ball back at the point of the fumble. But I understand it's the goal line, and that's different. I understand that, and that should be allowed for. I don't believe that you should be able to stretch through the end zone, fumble the ball on the one-yard line, have it go out of bounds, and get it back on the one. I actually get that. Of the five different solutions Sherman brought up, the one that I kind of like the most, even though it's a little bit goofy, is something he called the reverse touchback. Fumble the ball out of bounds in a situation like that, what would have happened? You end up either, and this is where you have to decide which way you want to go. You either repeat the down or it's a loss of down. I tend to go loss of down. And you get the ball on your own 20-yard, on the 20-yard line. So Derek Carr would have fumbled the ball out of bounds.
Why move him to the 20?
Reverse touchback. That's the penalty.
What for what? Penalty for what? You don't get penalized for fumbling out of bounds anywhere else on the field.
Well, that's where I started, but it's not the goal line. It's a different situation. Well, the goal line is it's a whole. You can't compare the goal line to the 10-yard line or the 50-yard line.
Fumbles
or the
30-yard out of bounds,
line.
And you get it at the one or wherever. If you happen to be at the four and you fumbled it way out of bounds, you take it at the four.
Because there's a difference. Because when you're trying to score a touchdown, you're going to do different things to try to stretch out. You want to discourage people from fumbling the freaking ball out of the end zone when they're trying to stretch, from taking chances they wouldn't take on the 30 or the 40 or the 50.
But they do. People stretch for yards all the time.
Sure they do. But when it's the goal line, I'm okay.
Oh, okay,
I'm okay,
fine. I hear you. But let's talk about Austin Seferian Jenkins. He wasn't doing anything.
Sure.
He didn't do any. He just happened to get hit and the ball popped out.
I got you.
Reaching for the same thing happened to Corey Davis at the Titans.
It's part of the rule issue. I get it. But if we're dealing with, and here's the problem, Kyle, if we're dealing with the extreme, which is where we're at right now, where is a touchback other team's possession? Okay, you and I are on
the
same page.
Wrong thing.
That is the wrong thing. I'm trying to find a middle ground here, and I think that's what people are trying to find is a middle ground if they're going to adjust the rule. I don't agree with you just go back and spot of the foul. I understand that
it's not a foul, it's a fumble.
If it goes out of bounds, spot of the fumble, excuse me. If it goes out of bounds, same reason why what's the play? If you fumble the ball in the end zone, it goes out of the back of the end zone, it's a safety. There's a penalty to the team for that. And understandably so, it should be. But if you're fumbling the ball out of the end zone, should it be the other team's ball? Absolutely. That's too harsh. give them some form of penalty. If it's third down, guy fumbles the ball out of bounds. Okay, now it's fourth down on the 20, or fourth down on the 10, or fourth down on the 5. Give them the ball back and have a standard yard line and a standard down procedure for them to go forward.
I just don't understand why you're moving them back 20 yards.
Or 15 or 10 or 5. I'm negotiating here, dude. I'm negotiating. I think on one end of the spectrum is you lose the ball and it's a touchback. I think on the other end of the spectrum, which is too light, is spot of the fumble, next down. I think those are the two ends of the spectrum. You're not going all the way back to the left.
I see some people saying the rule's fine. So don't fumble the ball. So they're advocating then that every fumble should just go to the other team then. Every time you fumble. It should go to the other team.
They're saying if you do it through the goal line, because that's the current rule.
No, I understand
they're
that.
Separating,
I understand
they're
that,
separating no. those two things. You do not believe there's a difference.
No.
Correct?
There's not.
And
you fumbled.
But you fumbled through the goal line. That's a different animal altogether. The goal line itself represents something. The goal line is different from the 5 or the 10 or
unless
the 20.
Unless it comes to making a catch. Like we saw in the Steelers game, then the goal line no longer represents anything.
Okay,
because you're making a catch.
Sure,
near it.
Sure. But if you're a running back and you leap the pile, and you cross the goal line while still in the air and you have possession, yes. It's a touchdown.
Correct.
Even if you fumble on the way down, even if you fumble a full second later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's where the goal line is different. The goal line is sacred, and I respect that. I understand that. So you have to find a middle ground is all I'm saying. For everybody saying, oh, that's stupid. Okay, well, what's your solution? You leave the rule the way it is, but if you agree that the rule is wrong, what's your solution? Is it what Kyle says? Is it, well, you spot on the fumble? Is there some other penalty, something allowed? So here's what we're exploring so far. Get rid of the spot foul for pass interference. I hate that. But I'm just bringing that into the argument for funsies. Get rid of that dumb touchback, stupid fumble out of
it's
bounds
really
crap. We'll continue this when we get back. We haven't even talked about the Niners yet. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Raider fan, are you dead? Do you want to sound off? Is your season over? How'd you come out of that game last night? Did you think you got screwed? We got to talk about these offensive lines as well. Cowboys and Raiders, who had the better day? We'll do that in 5 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK.